NHL fans, and welcome to another edition of the Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure. I'm Dave Coyne, along with Jason Dedrick and Frank Parker, isn't it? Frank Parker!
Yeah.
You see your alias, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Sort of blown that one now.
Yeah.
It's out. All eight people. I don't know.
I mean, Fred Partridge is really who he is. But
he certainly is.
Yes. I was really impressed by that. That was almost a cold read. You just jumped right in and you got it right the first time.
I know.
Second takes.
One take. I was practicing while I was away, you know.
That's right. You have been away.
Oh, I have been away.
It's been
away.
Sorely missed.
Two episodes.
Yes.
I was not here. Just my disembodied voice in cyberspace.
Did you manage to listen in?
I managed to listen to some of both episodes.
Good.
Yes.
Well, that's good.
But I had very, very little time.
Yeah.
You know,
I
was a business trip.
You're jetting around the world.
That's true. I'm trying to shore up investment into the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, very busy. But
sure. Mostly a PowerPoint thing.
Yeah, of course.
Drum up business.
Yes. From the Rockefellers.
Yeah, but they promised to call me by the end of the week to let me know their decision. Yes.
All right.
Now, I said that you were kidnapped by hillbilly monster people.
Well, some people call the Rockefellers that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that's true.
But you were never in any danger.
No, I was never in any danger.
I don't know. I saw you all geared up.
Other than, you know, the extensive, intense heat of Utah and Las Vegas. Unbelievably hot. It was 100.
Who would have seen that coming?
There was a heat wave.
Wave in Las Vegas?
In Las Vegas. In the summer. Yeah, I think
what
the
does
first
it take?
Thing, not much, apparently. It was 115.
115?
Fahrenheit.
I don't even know.
Wow.
I think you're supposed to slow cook pork at that temperature.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well,
right.
I guess that's what I smelled.
Yeah.
It smelled like a barbecue going on down there. They were just putting, you know, pork right on the sidewalk and cooking it all up. So.
Oh, God.
No.
Yeah, no, that's hot. And then from there you went to the desert. From the desert to more desert.
To more desert and then, Zion National Park. Great park.
Yeah.
You want to go.
In the winter? Is it nice in the winter?
I think it's nice in the winter, too, because I've been to the Grand Canyon in the winter, mm-hmm. and it was very nice.
Right. Sometimes a dusting of snow.
Dusting of snow can be very very appealing.
Mm. All right. Well, then the show's going live in February from Zion National Park in Utah.
Yep. The Gentlemen of Elegant Travel.
Yes, or spinoff.
Yep.
Now, I don't know, is Utah, can you drink in Utah?
No.
Utah's got a bunch of weird things, doesn't it?
There's, you got to go through some gyrations. You got to go, there's some things you got to do. It's difficult.
Right.
Put it that way.
Okay.
You got to buy a bag, or your stuff in the bag, you got to bring it in, put it under the table. It's so you can't just order stuff with your meal.
Is that true?
Yes. Parts of it are true.
Parts of it are true. But there might be a dry county. Of course, I guess any old state could have a dry county.
Oh, yeah. No, Ohio's got dry counties. They're all over the place.
Right. All right.
Well, I didn't get enough alcohol, I can tell you that.
No, that's very disappointing because we sent you off as our cub reporter.
Not really. No, you didn't send me off as a cup reporter.
No.
I was under the impression that we had sent you off as a cup reporter.
I don't think we gave him the expense. We didn't give him the expense, the company card. If we'd done that, maybe the company Visa.
But you did have cocktails.
I had cocktails. I was at the Bally High in San Diego.
Oh, nice.
Very nice.
Yes.
Delicious food, great service. And, of course, I had the Goof Punch, which is delicious. There's the Goof right there. The Goof mug, which will be on our Instagram account.
Let the records show that Dave did not point at either Fred or I when he referred to the Goof.
The Goof.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah. So it's strictly a mug.
I think I was at the Bally High. It overlooks the harbor.
The harbor, yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's wonderful.
On Shelter Island.
Shelter Island. Wonderful. The Goof is, it's got Lemon Heart Rum Demerara. Coruba, Jamaican dark rum, Cruzan aged light rum, Trader Vic's Orgot syrup, and a blend of fruit juice. They don't say what the fruit juice is. It's specific. Right. I guess that's kind of the secret.
That's the
secret spice. And
if you just want the drink, it's $8.75. Mm-hmm. And if you want the drink with the mug, it's $20.
Right.
5 cents. So. And it was delicious.
And it was delicious.
I highly recommend the Goof. Right.
So we have to see if you, number one, if you're in San Diego and you haven't been to the Bally High, go to the Bally High.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
If you're in the area and you don't get into San Diego very often, maybe three times a year,
go
to the Bally High.
Yeah.
And if you've just cruised in for your first time, get a cab and go to the Bally High.
Yeah. Now, if you're going to Comic-Con, take one night off.
Yes, right.
Go to the Bally High.
You probably haven't.
Then have your first drink.
That's right. Have your first drink there at the Bally High.
There's no reason not to go to the Bally High, where I had the Chicken of the Gods. Which I hope is still on the menu. I'm not sure if it still is. But the Chicken of the Gods.
You should have the Chicken of the Gods.
And then I've made the Chicken of the Gods at home.
I've also made the Chicken of the Gods at home.
Mm-hmm. And you enjoyed it?
Oh, it was tremendous.
Yeah, godlike.
Oh, yeah. No, I felt all-powerful and omnipotent.
And you had the Mr. Bally High drink, didn't you?
I did. I had a Mr. Bally High when I was there and probably something else, but I needed to get the Mr. Bally High mug.
Mug, right.
And there would have been two other drinks that happened after that I can not vouch for, because back in the days, I didn't keep track of them.
No.
Once I got the mug, that was my...
You were done.
My quarry was...
Yep.
It was a good drink, Mr. Bally High, you think?
Yeah, there was something that I wasn't crazy about in the Mr. Bally High, and I forget what...
His glum face?
No, it wasn't his glum face. You're right, though. That could put you off.
Yes.
There was an ingredient in it that I thought I'm just not used to.
I can tell you what the ingredients are.
Oh, well, tell me what the ingredients are, and I'll tell you what threw me off.
Well, it's the Cruzan Aged Light Rum.
Yeah.
Blackberry Brandy.
Yeah.
Sweet and Sour.
Yeah.
Pineapple juice and Lemon Heart 151.
Oh, there's no reason not to like that.
No, that sounds delicious.
Yeah, no, I might have been confusing the Mr. Bally High with something else.
Well, here's another Mr. Bally High with a completely different recipe.
Unsweetened pineapple juice, lemon juice, sugar syrup, coffee-flavored brandy.
Mm.
See, I think that was what... it ended up with that citrus/coffee flavor that I think can be good, but I don't think I was ready for it.
So they've obviously modified the
Maybe they've, yeah, maybe they've updated.
And good on them.
Yeah.
Rum, yeah, blackberry brandy they're using now, whereas they used to use coffee flavored brandy. Interesting.
Yes.
Well, maybe that's why the Chicken of the Gods might not be there. Thank you, Fred, for finding that.
Such
short notice.
I was hoping to get to the Grass Skirt Tiki Bar, which is also in San Diego, but I could not swing it.
Right.
My time is just so tightly.
Well, you had so many meetings. All the meetings.
All the meetings. Yeah. All the...
And you were in San Francisco, big cocktail town.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Don't even get me started.
All right, business trip.
Next time.
Next year.
Next time. So what are we doing for this episode?
Well,
I think we've run out of time.
Sorry. Tune in next time.
That's right, when we chastise Dave for not going to a cocktail bar in Palo Alto, California.
Yeah.
What we're doing this time around is...
Well, we've got a bit of a theme, you know, because we've had some comments. We thought, well, why not? I'll run with that sort for a little bit. Stuff that's simple.
Right.
But this almost harkens back to my youth on the plains of Nebraska.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
No, this harkens back to some of the stuff that we did right at the very beginning, when we would do a drink, and then we would do a drink that was kind of related to the drink.
Right.
And so, still going with the simple idea, this the first drink is a highball that involves two ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
Three if you squeeze lime in, which we're gonna.
Okay.
But it's just going to be a spirit and a other ingredient.
Mm.
It's called The Dark and Stormy.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Frank Parker.
No, it's not
Frank Parker.
This recipe, we're going to use one out of a book, but it's a standard, crazy old one. But I got this book out of the library. I have not purchased this book yet. I would recommend getting this book. It's a wonderful book. Mm-hmm. It's called The Brooklyn Bartender, A Modern Guide to Cocktails and Spirits. And there's the best cocktails from the world's hippest borough.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And, I mentioned lots of wonderful places that we never got to when we were in New York.
We couldn't get off Manhattan.
We couldn't get out of Manhattan. And only I stumbled upon it. I was looking there because they were very simple. And so the Dark and Stormy, and now they have a drink behind that called the Extra Ginger Dark and Stormy. And so what this is the educational twist of this one show.
Oh.
If you just want to have a Dark and Stormy, have a Dark and Stormy.
Mm-hmm.
You only have to have two ingredients, three if you want to put lime in. But then the twist will be,
yeah. What
if I wanted to add a little something else? What if I was prepared to go for that extra work?
Mm-hmm.
And then we can say, that's better than the Dark and Stormy. Or yep. We could say, no, let's just do the Dark and Stormy.
Mm-hmm.
We do not know.
No.
So yes, in here it's called the Extra Ginger Dark and Stormy. Mm-hmm. I really wanted it to be called the Darker and Stormier.
Yeah, there you go.
And so I did some research,
yes.
And there is a drink called the Darker and Stormier, and I think it's basically what they do here. So unofficially, we're doing a Dark and Stormy. No, officially, we're doing a Dark and Stormy. Unofficially, we're doing a Darker and Stormier.
All right.
And they're both ginger rum drinks.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's nothing to stop us from doing it.
No.
Legal impediments.
Unless my house collapse.
Well,
right. But I don't think
and it has good. Not yet.
It hasn't yet.
Sound. What we could talk about is Gosling's rum.
Gosling's.
The Gosling's Black Seal Bermuda Black Rum. This is good stuff.
It is. A lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot, some people poo-poo the Gosling's. I don't know why. I mean, it's sort of like a navy rum, I think.
Mm. Yeah, it might be. It's also maybe a little like a blackstrap in a way, too. I mean, at least, I don't know, we should have tasted it straight. We always say that. I'm using Gosling's because it says to use Gosling's in most of the recipes for it. So
exactly.
It's got a certain amount of body to it. Everybody.
Ooh. I'm going to have a little snort of Gosling's. It's been a while since I've had it straight up.
Yeah, really? Friends, you can't put it through your nose. I told you before, you can't snort it.
I know you.
I know you're still living in the 80s when you're at Studio 54.
Why are you always saying no to everything I come up with, Dave?
Well, because Laura insisted that I keep you on the straight and narrow.
On the back of the bottle, it says, "Rich, smooth, and full-bodied, Black Seal Rum is a unique blend by Gosling, Brothers of Bermuda. The original recipe being a closely guarded secret." Yeah. Yes. But it's but the important part there is that it's rich, smooth, and full bodied, right? That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's not as molassesy as a black strap.
Okay. But it still has that oomph to it.
Yeah.
And that's probably why.
I know I had my lips on this. Anybody else want
to? I'll taste a little bit of it.
Go ahead there.
And then we'll make Dave try the end of it.
It's like 40%. I think you'd use that if you cut yourself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but that is. Oh, my God. That's lovely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I see. You know what I mean? It's almost like it's been it's like a pre-mixed thing.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to have a rum and coke, the mistake people would make is they would maybe use something like this, which I don't think would go so well with the coke. Well, I think it would go with the coke, but now it's extra sweet.
Syrupy.
Whereas I think if you went with more of a white rum, Havana Club, if you can get it, or any light-bodied white to mix with the coke, might be fairer?
Yeah, maybe. I like my rum and coke to be kind of funky, too.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
sorry.
That's all right, idiot.
Wow, Judgy McJudges a bunch.
Yeah, I'm just saying because I remember when I would get when I used to go to comedy clubs, and my go-to drink was a rum and coke.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I think I've seen people mix lemon heart with coke, and then you see somebody doing Ronza Capo with coke, and rums aren't all the same.
No.
And so, if you ever had a bad time with rum and coke, don't maybe blame the rum. Blame the rum, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
The bartender might have used the wrong rum because it was 1988.
That's right.
Right? But we're using Gosling's, and so it's 2 ounces of Gosling's Black Seal rum. Don't settle for imitations. And then 4 ounces of ginger beer.
Mm. Sounds simple enough.
Now, the problem with ginger beer is it's all over the map. Oh, I think you want to have something with a little bit of bite to it, and a lot of it's really pedestrian.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you go to the store and they say, these are extra hot.
Mm-hmm.
The more it says extra hot, the more not it is. You can almost guarantee
it. If it's a supermarket,
Yeah. Like sometimes you'll buy salsa and it'll be medium, and you'll go, oh, that's pretty hot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try the extra hot. No, it's not. I don't know. I don't know why. It's like they label it scary, but it's not scary.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the time. I've had some gut-rotting hot sauces in my time as well. Anyway, I've always enjoyed this stuff. If I could have got the other stuff but whose name always eludes me. No, not the Fentiments. There's another one that David Wondrich recommends.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen that.
And now I get it at BevMo in the States. It's got a red label on it, red cap. Ooh. But this is Cock and Bull.
You're full of cock and bull.
And they've been making it since 1946, the extra ginger soft drink.
Okay.
And I've always had a good time with Cock and Bull.
Mm-hmm.
I think they might have been around for the actual creation of the Moscow Mule.
That sounds familiar. Right?
And so, but we're going to use it today for this. And it's super easy. In a Collins glass with ice, but we're going to mix it up in a mixing thing so we can share it out. Stir together the rum and ginger beer and squeeze in a lime wedge. Nothing could be simpler.
No. Idiot proof.
Idiot proof.
Hey. Sitting right here.
I've been away for a month. I'm sorry.
And the Gosling's is 80 proof. So the drink is idiot proof. Gosling's 80 proof.
Barrett's?
Nope. It's going to drive me crazy because I always remember it when I'm not here.
All right. So we've got some ice.
We do.
And
and it's already melting because we're having a bit of a heat wave here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A tropical heat wave?
Temperature's like rising. Yeah, it isn't surprising. You certainly can.
For all I know our listening audience spans the globe, but if you're not familiar enough with our geographic area, we're in British Columbia, and it's been one hell of a miserable forest fire season.
It's been in the around about the 90s, high 80s, 90s for the last month. We're tired of it.
We're sick of it.
When's the snow coming back?
Exactly.
September?
Yeah. Could be.
Oh, I gotta get building my igloo before Santa gets here.
Oh, Fred. You know you're Jewish.
I didn't know. What?
Does that mean
I'm adopted?
I tell you every Christmas.
Yep.
That's just so you don't have to buy me a present.
That's partially true.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, this is a great... a great drink. And I think the Gosling's is important, but the ginger beer is equally as important because it's such a high percentage of the total. So I think if you can, if you have to drive another 5 or 6 miles to get a really good ginger beer, well, I think it's worth it.
I think so.
Fred will pay for the gas. Just send in your receipt. We'll give you details later on that.
Dave says a lot of stuff.
I've been storing it up all month.
I think we've got a disclaimer somewhere in here that says none of this is to be taken seriously.
That's right. It is this.
I mean, who knows that we're even doing this? This is all be Foley.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Foley. It could be Folly.
Folly as well. Totally Foley and Folly.
No, it's all on Instagram right here. Oh. No video. To prove
CG, it's all CGI.
I wish we had a slightly larger mixing glass. I didn't think of how this was going to go down because you would normally make this in the glass, and we're not doing it that way. We're sort of
cheating,
as it were. That's all right.
Well, it's going to work out.
I think it's going to work out just fine.
Yeah,
just fine. Because, as you all know, mm-hmm. you listen to the show every week.
Sure we do.
Every 2 weeks.
Yeah. We're here. Can't get away from it.
We doubled the recipe, so that's why this is looking like a lot when in fact...
That's sort of how I mix it at home, so it's...
Is it?
Yeah. You have several servings for yourself.
Well, sure, because there's no guarantee that after the first couple I'm going to be ready to make a third.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's a nice sound, isn't it?
It is a nice sound. Just hoping that it's chilled enough. Let me throw in another cube or two here.
Looks like sort of a golden amber ale or something like that.
Yes, I know. It seems so pleasant for something that's obviously so dark and stormy. All right. And so, as I say, you would build this in a glass, and so you, by rights, you should already be drinking this, but we're going to share it out here. And some fresh ice cubes.
The Hawthorne strainer?
I'm using the Hawthorne. Once you've tried the Hawthorne, you just can't go back to anything less than a Hawthorne strainer. That looks pretty good. And I took the time to slice a lime because I like you guys.
Yeah, nice. I didn't get you anything.
No. Well, you know, whatever. That's okay.
But yeah, they say that traditionally in Bermuda, from where this drink originates, they would not put a lime in, but everybody else seems to.
Yes.
And no, I like it with a lime, so it's for me.
Yes, almost everything I read on it says it's better with a squeezed lime in it. Yeah. So who am I to say no?
You're nobody to say no.
You're nobody, you hear me? For you, David.
Thank you.
And for me. Well, welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Yes. To the gentlemen of Elegant Leisure, reunited.
Yes.
I'm sorry I brought the heat with me back, but
you
for
say
the cops, as I call them. Apparently, this is one of the official drinks of Bermuda.
Really?
The other one is the rum swizzle.
Yes, the rum swizzle.
Oh, well, then we should have a Bermuda-themed show.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
It's spicy and...
Yeah, you get,
bitey.
You get a little bit of bitey, you get a little bit of lime, and you get the nice warmth of that rum coming through. This is a nice drink. The dark and stormy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's better than just a rum and Coke.
It is.
This is this ginger beer doesn't have a real snap to it. I mean, it's nice.
It's got it. Here, try it straight. Because it does, I thought it had a bit of a snap until I tried that one that Wondrich recommended, which I'll put on the website.
Thank you.
Because you got to get that stuff.
And what's the website, Jason?
Gentlemen, www.gentlemenofelegantleisure.com.
Excellent. That's nice. It's a very well balanced. I like that. That's good ginger beer.
Yes. It's all cock and bull.
No,
until
I don't
somebody
think it's
gets
true.
Rested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a spot on a nice hot day.
Yeah.
Yeah. It clears out all the smoke in the atmosphere.
Clears out your sinuses a little bit if you had a slightly hotter ginger beer in there.
Mm-hmm.
The lime keeps, scurvy at bay.
Yeah.
And the rum is all part of your ration, my friend.
Yeah. Now it's touch and go with me and scurvy, so this is good.
Yeah.
No, I've enjoyed the dark and stormy before. Mm-hmm. I used to confuse it for some reason with the corn and oil. I don't know why. Probably because it's two words with and in between.
I think that's it. Yeah, no, there's... There's quite a similarity between those two.
Now, if they'd called it rum and ginger, would it be as interesting as the dark and stormy?
No.
So should the gin and tonic be called something else?
Well, Cuba Libre.
Cuba Libre.
Rum and Coke with lime.
Yes. As opposed to a rum and Coke.
Just change it all into Spanish. It always sounds much nicer than plain old pedestrian English.
Classic highball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is, but it doesn't show up as a classic highball anywhere. I mean, people don't think of it.
No.
And they should, because this is, it's different. It makes you feel like you're on vacation.
I am basically on vacation until I go back to work on Thursday. Mm. Could you get a little bit more ice for us, Dave?
I certainly can.
Just on account of the hot weather.
I know.
I can't believe it's evaporating.
I know.
It's not even turning to water. It's going straight to gas.
Straight to steam and gas.
It's, yeah.
And so I can't think of a way to describe the flavor profile of this any more than what its some of its parts are. You get ginger, so it's going to help your digestion, and then it's got that rich rum in it.
No, it's a good combination. The that rum and then that ginger beer is... it works so well together. Better than some of the other ones. I mean, they're all good. I mean, I've had dark and stormies made with all kinds of different rums and maybe not. Maybe I've only had them made with Goslings. Now I think about it.
I'm wondering if it is one of those that just has hair proprietary that it should always have the old man Gosling in there. It was named after Ryan Gosling's family. Thank you.
But you could, if you're in a pinch. And you're just jonesing for a dark and stormy, and you don't want to get into your car because it's so damn hot.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think just a good, like a navy rum, a black strap if you had it. But if you have a black strap, why wouldn't you have Goslings?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
But a nice dark, funky rum would be the one to go with on this. So that funky rum, because the ginger beer needs something to, work against.
Yes, it wants to rub up against it.
Exactly.
It's like a ship rubbing against a dock.
Cock and bull.
Wow.
That's what I say to that.
Like a chicken running up against some kind of bovine.
What? I see. It's the origin
of the cock and the bull.
The cock and the
bull. I'm not being filthy. It's called cock and bull.
That's right. Is this a chicken?
Oh, well, it's a cock.
That's why do you sound like Norm Macdonald?
I don't know, man. I watch a lot of Norm Macdonald lately.
All right.
So should we save a little bit of that in our glasses? So that we can compare that to the extra ginger dark and stormy.
Or?
Now, I'm delighted by the idea, or the darker and stormier, because it called for ginger syrup in this recipe.
Mm.
And I happen to have some ginger syrup at home. And just for the hoot and fun of it, I tasted it.
Yep.
And it tasted like sugar syrup with a little bit of ginger way over here in the back. And I thought, if I'm going for something called the extra ginger dark and stormy, it seems to me that you shouldn't have just sweetness with a little hair of ginger in the back.
Right.
Mm.
Because there's not actually any ginger beer in this particular recipe we're going to be doing.
What?
You're using club soda.
Oh.
Ginger syrup.
Right.
I guess you're making your own ginger beer.
I guess you are.
And so I followed the recipe, which was basically to get a great big hunk of ginger and then juice it as best you can. I put it in a food processor and then into a NutriBullet to try to beat it down as much. Then I strained the solids out of it, let the liquid come through, and then the same amount of liquid that I had, I did the same amount of sugar to it, shook it all up. And this is it.
That's it.
So this could not be fresher, pure ginger, sugar, and there was a little bit of water added because it's hard to blend ginger. It's very not
cooperative.
Not blend.
Not a juicy root.
It's not the juicy root. And so, So I it wasn't hard to do. It wasn't even involved steeping or cooking or anything. It was just a matter of juicing, macerating, which is what I... Anyway.
Listen.
Have a hard bite potato chip.
No thanks.
Okay.
No.
It was too hard for my my tender teeth.
Yeah.
I'm sure it spent a lot of money on this mouth.
Yeah.
this gorgeous mouth.
Yeah. It shows.
So this has 2 ounces of black seal rum, an ounce of lime juice, freshly squeezed.
Wow.
A quarter of an ounce of ginger syrup. So I've made probably a little bit more than I would actually need. But, you know, what are you going to do? And then the 2 ounces of club soda, is what they're saying here.
Mm.
You put the first 3 ingredients in a cocktail shaker of vac ice and shake it until it's well chilled, strain into a Collins glass with fresh ice. And top with club soda and garnish with a lime wedge, which I did not read.
Nope.
So we have,
you're going
to
be
you'll have to use your wedge.
Son's wedge.
From your previous drink, I'm afraid.
Oh, I have it. It's right here.
Good for you. But I think the big shot of lime juice that's in it will take care of it.
Exactly. So what are you going to do first?
What it says to do.
What was
it? I'm leaving town.
No.
Good night, everybody.
All right.
I'm going to build this in a drink here, a drink holder.
Oh, yeah.
Cocktail shaker.
Now, I've been reading
books.
I like to call them books.
All right.
A lot of people call it the internet. But books, too.
Books, too. The sequel to books.
Some people.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say who they are.
They shall remain nameless.
But they issue the cocktail shaker that we use in favor of the Boston Shaker.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, this is the cobbler.
The Boston Shaker. Isn't he still wanted by the FBI?
The Boston Shaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't strangle people.
He just shook them.
He shook them to death.
And what is a Boston Shaker for? Neophytes like me. What is that?
So basically, it's like a beer glass.
Mm-hmm.
The standard sort of semi-conical glass, and then just a stainless can or tin that then you shake, squeeze them together. So you've seen it in old movies, and some bars use them. Apparently, a lot of them, the ones I've been to. But and you basically slam them together with the palm of your hand, and then they form a tight seal, and that's what you shake them because you can see through into the glass, and you can see how things are mixing. Although, after 2 shakes, it's pretty mixed. It's just physics, folks. It's nothing. After that, it's really just about chilling. Actually, everything's mixed pretty much as soon as you pour them into the shaker, let alone, you know, we've got to shake it for 30 seconds to mix things. No, they're mixed right away. But anyway, it's all about brownie in motion.
Brownie in motion?
Maybe. That's more temperature driven. But anyway, I digress.
I'll say.
But anyway, yeah, so I don't know. I've thought about buying a Boston shaker, and now that people are saying I'm, you know, a loser for using the cobbler, I think maybe I should get one.
I have a Boston shaker.
Do you use it?
I have used it.
How do you feel about that?
It's, well, there's a little tiny learning curve on it, because you have to be able to...
Make it seal?
Yes, and then release it without banging it in such a way that it all falls everywhere. I mean, I'm probably making it sound more difficult than it is. But the nice thing about the shakers as we have them is, as you know, you just throw it all together.
Yeah, I mean, I've used a few different shakers. I've got about half a dozen, and I use different ones.
Mm, smell that ginger syrup I made.
Wow, that's gingery.
Smell
it at home, folks. Oh, that is very... You could almost wear that as a cologne.
You could.
And it's fresh, too. I mean, you can smell the freshness.
It attracts bees.
But they were saying that this shaker... Don't leave.
It's just trying to spare a tender microphone.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, yeah, boy, I'm telling you, the meter is going off the charts.
We're pegging the meter.
We're pegging the meter. It's in the red.
Jasonometer. But basically, they were saying the same thing about this shaker as we were just saying about the other one, where it leaks, it's hard to get it apart, and how hard... Oh, look at that. You had to grab it with your hands.
No, I had to twist it like I was opening a jar.
Except not as hard. Yeah. I don't know. I'm still a big fan of those shakers because, to me, they're easier, but I think I might get a Boston shaker just to give it a try.
It would be funny. I mean, I have so many cocktail shakers because I was Mr. Cocktail Shaker Collector Guy. I should bring a different one each time.
Mm-hmm.
And you like this one.
This is the one you like.
This is the go-to one.
Yeah.
This is the big boy.
I've got a few. I've got one that sort of leaks a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't leak around the edge. It's when you take the big top off, it retains a little bit of, just around the edges, because it's a sort of a sculpted shape.
And you know what I've noticed?
Spilling, and I hate spillage.
With a couple, with this shaker from time to time, it does depend a little bit on the temperature of the ingredients in it.
Really?
If it's cold, it seals better.
Yeah.
If you don't put ice in it and do like a dry shake in it, it'll sometimes spray out a little bit. And I'm like, well, how? But it's got a gasket, man.
So a dry shake.
A dry shake.
For people who don't know.
Is shaken without ice.
Exactly.
Misleading, because everything's wet.
It doesn't make sense.
Right?
It's all wet. It's just it could be a warm shake. Shouldn't be a dry shake.
4 divided by 3 is?
1 1/3.
Okay.
There'll be a test for everybody later.
A little bit more than 1 1/4, depending on how your beaker is graduated.
What?
So I wouldn't give this a hard stir. I would give it a gentle stir.
Yes.
Because we did beat the bubbles out of the last one. Just a titch.
Beat the bubbles?
You know what I mean.
So there we go. And you know what? I think you're supposed to squeeze, as I say, the lime wedge in there, but I got enough little extra lime juice here that we're going to go... Yibbity. Bubbity boo. And that will give us the extra ginger, dark and stormy, or the darker and stormier if you prefer. And I'm looking forward to this because it's either going to taste exactly the same
or better. Yeah.
The gentle stirring has begun and commenced and finished.
Oh,
a bit more opaque, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is opaque because
that's the ginger syrup.
Yeah, the syrup ginger. Is quite... filmy. So?
Smells nice.
It's more of a fruity nose.
Yeah, a little mellower smell than
than
what the previous drink.
And it's funny, because, I mean, all the ingredients are basically the same. Just stretched out.
Right.
And Fred has had a sip. He's frowning. He's smacking his lips.
I'd say it's mainly lime.
Oh.
It's quite a... It doesn't have a... Yeah, it has a real powerful lime presence.
It does. Well, it calls for that ounce of lime juice.
I'm just surprised the intensity of your syrup would have made me think that this is going to be super, super gingery.
Yes. It would be almost interesting to see it without as much lime juice. Where you were basically using the syrup and the club soda to make the ginger beer, add the goslings, and then only the little tiny squirt of lime. But, again, I guess they're saying this is the other drink more so. In lime, anyway.
Pardon my cough, a little bit of the ginger caught up with me.
It was working. The ginger was working.
Yeah, not so good for you.
No, so I go back to the original Dark and Stormy with the ginger beer. It's all ginger and hardly any lime.
Yes. And so it's funny that I think they've misnamed it, right?
Yes.
They called it the Extra Ginger Dark and Stormy. It's not. It's the Extra Limey Dark and Stormy.
So maybe a different ginger syrup.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Well, unless... Well, you know what?
Oh, you used watermelon.
No, I might have used... I might have used these 48-year-old eyes. Is that 3/4?
Oops.
Or 1/4?
3/4.
Oh, yeah. Well, you should have a whole lot more ginger in your drink. Ah.
Well, there you go.
So let's do it.
Okay. Oh, look. Oh, yeah, you got tons of ginger.
I got...
You got no shortage of ginger.
Yeah. So we're going to do, so I thought it was only 1/4 when it was 3/4. So you get this much more.
Oh, look at that.
You get this much more.
Thank you very much.
And I will do the same.
Yeah.
Now there's a chance because I'm free pouring this like a fool. That this might be now too gingery.
No, no. Nope. I think that's just about right.
Is that what the change was that we needed?
Yeah.
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 I'm much sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
It's live radio.
I have very little to do over here. my only possible excuse is that their font is misleading, and I'm too vain to wear reading glasses. So, yikes!
It is it's a very weird narrow font. I have to say. Huh?
I love this drink.
See? Yeah.
I love the extra ginger.
Yeah.
It's darker and stormier.
Isn't it?
It's got double the ginger.
Yep.
It's got double the lime.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the same amount of booze.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not. I mean, it's just funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. No, it's not. Oh, my God. This is completely different. Oh, foolish.
You idiot.
I am an idiot. No. I deserve to be called an
idiot.
And
we said it was idiot proof, but apparently not.
You said that right at the top. Didn't you say that? That was the other one.
Yes.
This has got more ingredients.
This has more ingredients, but...
And the font is so much smaller.
The font, you know, I'm going to scan that. And you folks at home can look at the font.
I think you should.
And
put that on our Instagram account.
And once you see it all blown up, of course, you'll say, well, it's obviously 3/4.
Yeah.
But I take full blame on that. But at least I was able to salvage it.
You salvage it. What a drink.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wow, I like that.
Mm-hmm. The fresh ginger.
The fresh ginger makes a difference, right?
I mean, I have no beef against ginger beer.
No.
It's great stuff. But, you know, wow.
Fresh ginger and soda to give you that vibe. I don't know what the other ingredient would be in ginger beer that makes a ginger beer. You know what I mean?
It's got to age and kind of nonsense.
Oh,
maybe.
I guess.
I don't know. But
yeah,
you know, when it's fresh, it doesn't. You know, it's just what? How many ingredients? One. Two, if you add the sugar.
That's right. Three, if you put a bit of moisture in it to try to.
Three ingredients: water, sugar, and ginger. So
hot.
Oh, yeah. It's ginger. It's really good.
No, that's right. And that's the other thing. The real ginger, the burn stays.
Yes, it lasts.
Yeah, which is cool. I like it.
It was funny because what I was going to do, and then I thought I ran out of time, basically, is I was actually going to sprinkle a little bit of cayenne in it just to give it a little bit of heat because I wasn't sure it would have enough heat.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, it's got plenty of heat.
Yeah.
So how did you make that again? So you just ground it up, and then you put it, you ground it up in a food processor, then you put it in the bullet.
I did, because I was just trying to get it as beat up as I could.
Right. Then you strain it through, like, a cheesecloth?
I just put it through a regular old strainer.
Oh.
I bet if you put it through cheesecloth, it would be, of course, even clearer now, because as Dave noted, it was quite cloudy, with a chance of meatballs.
And then you mix it with, like a powdered sugar?
I just used regular old granulated, out-of-the-bag sugar.
Did you heat it up at all?
I didn't. I mixed it in that little glass container, mm-hmm. and then I shook the hell out of it. Mm-hmm. And then I went and watched some TV for a while. Then I came back to get something else out of the fridge, and yep. I saw it, and I shook the hell out of it again.
Yep.
I shook it again this morning, then I shook it while we were here, because it did settle a little bit.
Right.
But that's super easy. So, yeah, whatever the amount of liquid you get out of it,
yep.
by adding a little bit of water. I mean, the water certainly doesn't cut down on the burn very much.
No, no.
And then the sugar ups the sweetness. And so I tasted it straight. Earlier today to make sure that we had it, and I went, ooh, it's hot.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but is it sweet enough to give us the sweetness?
Yeah.
And it definitely was, but it's hot.
mm-hmm.
And the hot almost canceled out the sweet, but the sweet was just there
I
enough.
I think that's right. I think that's the right proportion.
Yeah. In this wonderful book, The Brooklyn Bartender.
Small-fonted, wonderful book.
The small-fonted... Oh. You hipsters and your better vision than me, or at least your willingness to wear dark horn-rimmed glasses that I don't have yet. It had three recipes for the ginger syrup. Ooh. A 1-to-1 was mm-hmm. mentioned for a bunch of drinks, including this one. Then there was a 2-to-1, and then there was a 3-to-1.
Oh.
And so, having said that, I don't know if it's 3 sugars to 1 ginger or 3 gingers to 1 sugar.
I can't trust you anymore.
I'm going to look at it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so there's places where you can, not places, but recipes where you can make some of the ingredients yourselves, and if it's not too hard, the results pay off.
Right, which is why these two are paired so nicely. There's the Dark and Stormy, where you mm-hmm. go buy rum and you go buy ginger beer,
yep.
and you drink it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this one, where you have to make your own ginger syrup,
yep.
you're going to have to buy club soda
mm-hmm.
and rum, and squeeze a whole lime.
yeah. But that's a drink that you're going to get in very few places, the darker and stormier, because most commercial bars aren't going to have the time to do this. Some will. I mean, there's probably guys out there that do it, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, you're lucky to get a dark and stormy to start with.
Mm.
And the odds of them making their own ginger syrup, depending on where you are, not that great.
Let us know if there's any bartenders out there. Leave us a comment. Yeah. Tell us if you make your own.
Yes, please
ginger.
Leave a comment. People have left comments, and look at this. We've done several wonderful shows.
The gyrations that we'll go through.
Based on that one comment.
We're so needy.
One fella.
I still want to work on the basic stuff. I'm reading a book, The 12-Bottle Bar, which is a misnomer. They say 12 bottles, and they keep coming up with... But then just make your own, whatever. Gin. Make your own bourbon. No, I don't know. So it's a 12-bottle bar, but a lot of the stuff that you would have a bottle of, they say, just make it yourself. And it's a lot like reading some of the recipes from some of the big bars. It's like, one of the ingredients will be a rosewater ginger-infused vodka.
Right, which is easily done by just infusing vodka.
Yeah, for this one drink. And so, you end up making a whole bunch of stuff that's got a shelf life of 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And so, which is great, but also very, very hard. And really, your fridge is not big enough.
No, it isn't. You're right. You need to walk in.
I have a second bar fridge, and it's now full. So it turns out I needed a second full-size fridge just for stuff, for drinks.
Yeah. But again, how many of those are still time-sensitive?
I don't care.
We're keeping stuff beyond its prime.
Probably.
But, yeah.
But you know how I am with expiry dates.
I do. You vouch for them?
I don't. I do not.
I ignore them.
I ignore them. They're just completely. A bunch of foolishness.
That's right. Scaredy talk.
Scaredy talk. Of course.
If you can't slice your milk, you shouldn't be eating milk.
How are you going to make a milk sandwich otherwise?
Exactly.
But yeah, so I think leave some comments. We're still working on sort of the basics. So we're trying to hone down. I'm trying to get books worth of information down into about a page and a half.
Right.
I still want to do a taste test with orange liqueurs.
Yep.
Do that.
I read an interesting thing about orange liqueurs just recently. Oh, damn. And I read them and then I don't write down where they are because I think, I know where that's going to be.
We can put it on the website.
I guess so. But to touch upon it, of course, they're not all created equal. You've got your Curacao, you've got your Triple Sec, you've got your Grand Marnier.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people, again, in the just prior to this new golden age, as mm-hmm. they're sometimes calling it, of cocktail making Grand Marnier in it,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to up the thing.
Yep.
But it mucks the drink up because Grand Marnier is orange with brandy.
Right.
And so that's got a different profile than orange with just alcohol.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, that's why I want to do a taste off,
mm-hmm.
if you want to call it that. Maybe, well, hopefully we'll make one, at least one drink. But by the time we've tasted six different orange liqueurs, I don't know how what's going to happen. But anyway, but they're all a little different. That's why I'm trying to get one. I'm trying to get the Curaçao to Curaçao.
What?
Curaçao to Curaçao.
Oh, I thought you were trying to get it to Curaçao.
No.
What?
It turns out...
Don't worry about it.
My parents brought a small bottle back.
From?
Curaçao.
Oh, like a million years ago?
10 years ago?
That's not a million.
You said a million.
I know, you should have said no 10 years ago.
Did you think I thought a million years ago? Because that's...
No, they're old. They're old.
You know.
They're not.
God bless them.
They haven't drank it?
No, they don't. They bought all kinds of stuff they wouldn't drink.
Wow.
They were weird. On their, because they took a couple of round-the-world cruises, and every time they got off, they'd buy some booze, because they, specifically because they weren't allowed to bring booze back on, they would buy booze and bring it back on. Not to drink, because they didn't really like
drinking. They don't want it.
No, they didn't want to drink it.
But if I'm not allowed to have it, I'm getting it.
Fanatical contrarians.
Screw you.
Fred's parents.
Rules.
Yes. A lot of people don't know that about the people from the prairies.
Yeah.
They are fanatical
contrarians.
Don't tell us what not to do, because we're going to do it.
Yeah. Even if it hurts us.
Even if it hurts us, even if it kills us. So anyway, I don't know how big it is. He's going to go look for it. He says he knows they haven't. He said, we don't drink any of it, so he knows it's still there. I mean, every time I give them food, I have to tell them it's not a memento. It's actually something to be consumed.
That's right. Do not wear this bread. Eat this bread.
Don't save it for that special occasion. This isn't special occasion bread. So, anyway, he's got that. But, yeah, I mean, Curaçao is so hard to get.
Is that what this is?
Yes.
Oh, it is.
Because I can't get it shipped because the bottles are too fragile.
That's right.
Right.
Or frankly, now you were going to look in San Francisco to see if you could find.
Yeah, but I thought you were going to the States before I went to the States, and you were going to get it.
No, the guy was going to. Anyway, oh well, next year.
Next year.
Otherwise, you've got to check out that liquor store 15 minutes across the border.
In Vernon,
Linden,
Linden,
Linden.
I don't know, I'll try Linden. Yeah. They said the phone first. Okay, but anyway, that's. But yeah, you're right. I mean, and I did that too, because at first I only had Grand Marnier. I had the 2-liter bottle of Grand Marnier from Duty Free. Mm-hmm. So I just poured that in. It works okay.
It does work okay, but it doesn't work right.
Right. So you get the, you know, so I've got the triple sack and I've got the Pierre Ferrand Curaçao.
Right.
That's not poor second place. It's a wonderful, wonderful liqueur as well. But
if
they're all
used it in something, and it was
they're great. All a little different. And so, so I think this goes back to just leave comments and who knows where we're going to go with it. We'll run with it.
It might go back to that, or it might go back somewhere else. I don't know.
But yeah, because we're going to try and come up with the basic tools, the basic, you know, bottles, sort of what the 12-bottle bar tries to do. But by the time you get to, you know, page 404, you know that there's more to it than just 12 bottles.
That's right. Basically, they're saying what you need is 24 bottles.
Yes.
You cannot do it.
12 you buy at the store, 12 you're going to make yourself.
In conclusion, the 12-bottle bar is
a myth.
You cannot do it.
No. But, you know, they start off with, you know, the sour.
Right.
So you can have whatever your favorite booze is. If you think gin sucks, use... I know. You really shouldn't be listening.
Take that back.
Heretics.
Nobody who's listening to this.
Fanatical contrarians from the prairies.
But, you know, the sour you can make with anything.
You can.
Maybe vodka. Although there is a vodka sour.
Right.
Because it's really just citrus and an alcohol and maybe some sugar. And some sugar. Not maybe.
At the beginning of the 12-bottle bar book that mm-hmm. you keep extolling the semi-virtues of, do they have a list to say this is what you need for the 12 bottles?
They hold back.
Okay.
No, but gin doesn't make the list.
Gin does.
Does not.
Does not. You don't need gin in the 12-bottle bar?
Well, you only have 12.
I'm going to burn this book.
Yeah.
Where's Jennifer?
That's what they want you to have.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know what? Okay, I get
see?
That. You sure?
That's how that works.
Right. Huh.
Well, because they're saying if the limit is 12.
Yes.
Bye-bye gin.
Hello, Jim's more interesting cousin.
Exactly.
Yeah, the cousin that doesn't have any
has no inhibitions. Likes the sunbathe in the nude.
Right. A bottle of rum in the 12-bottle bar?
Oh, yes.
Only one?
Yes.
Oh.
There's no time for multiples.
Wow. Interesting.
We'll get into this more.
I don't think so. I think we've really delved into this.
No, there's no time. The show's almost over.
But on the topic of gin, when I was in Utah, mm-hmm. the place we were staying at, this house, actually had a juniper tree. Mm. And lo and behold, it had juniper berries on it.
And you stole some?
I did not sell some, but I collected some, and then I cut them open.
Yeah.
I said to some of the people that were there with us, "Here, smell this. I says, oh, it smells like gin." It does. That's the key botanical ingredient in gin is grisly.
And so you became the expert.
I became Mr. Juniper Berry on the holiday.
And before long, he was leading, he was tracking. Oh, you smell that?
Mm. Yeah.
There's been a muskrat through here. Yeah. I know those footprints.
Yes.
Yeah. But I took some photos of it. I forgot to put it on our Instagram account. But now I have mm-hmm. remembered. I will do that.
And oh, yeah, with your thinking brain.
Your thinking brain. You cut it open. It's green inside. Mm-hmm. Because I think they actually pick it when it's green, before it turns blue. They, mm-hmm. That's when they make a gin. But it's actually not a berry. It's a seed.
Hmm? Really?
Yeah.
What?
Because it's a coniferous, I guess, right. tree. So it's,
yeah, but if you were to eat a juniper berry,
I wouldn't. It's pretty fibrous,
right?
Yeah, I wouldn't. It's not.
Is it cereal?
It's fibrous and hard. It's not like a raspberry. It's just gonna.
Can I put it on my grape nuts?
You could try. I bet you. But you feel pretty good after.
That's right.
Well, you have to add alcohol to your grape yeah. nuts as well. But
of course,
sure, put it on your regular nuts.
What? Like a pecan or a cashew?
Whatever your regular nuts are.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be your grape nuts.
I sort of go to a cashew.
Okay.
Gesundheit. I purchased juniper berries at a local store in a jar.
Mm-hmm.
So they were sort of half dried, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I purchased or put them on the thing, sales lady, you know, where the transaction happens.
Oh, the cash person.
Sure, okay. Sure. The money handler.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
She said to me, "Oh, you make a gin?" And of course, my first response was no, because I wasn't.
And then maybe.
But then I thought, well, I guess I could.
Can
you
I?
You could get vodka, and you could put a bunch of juniper berries in it, and you got yourself gin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what did you do with them?
I was making a pastrami, and I was also making a bacon, and that was one of the flavoring agents in the brine I was doing.
Yeah, apparently I was doing some reading, and apparently in the Scandinavian countries they use it for a spice on meats. And
our
stuff
sister
like
show,
that,
right? Gentlemen of Elegant Prepared Meats.
That's yes. right, Gentlemen of Elegant Smoking.
Elegant Smoking, yeah.
Yeah, I think when I made Gravlax, the Gentlemen of Elegant... Yes.
don't you take Gravlax when you have an upset stomach? Isn't that what that's Gravlax?
Doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Wow, there you go. Everything you need to know about juniper berries here. And
well, in relation to your 12-bottle bar, I have a little hint of a story.
Mm.
I was able to go to the wonderful city of Seattle a week ago.
It's a wonderful city.
It is a wonderful city.
I love all the Northwest cities, don't you?
I love all the Northwest. Yeah, you're right. All the Northwest cities. Portland? Portland's don't go, great. Though. Don't go to
don't
Portland.
Go,
my
no.
cousin will tell you that you've seen it. Leave
Salem.
It alone.
Perfect the way it is.
Yeah, go to Eugene. Go Sully Salem. The city of Vancouver across the river there.
Yeah, they're looking for people.
Yeah. You don't need to go to Portland. But yeah, Portland and Seattle. And
and what did you do in Seattle?
I was down there seeing a play.
Ooh.
Jennifer and I went and saw The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime.
Ooh.
All right.
Heard of that.
Yeah. It was very good.
Yeah, excellent.
Tony winner.
Yeah.
Tony nominated, Tony winner. But my ulterior motive was really to go to a bar afterwards.
I've been with you, yeah.
And I went to a fantastic bar.
What?
And so when the three of us do our next road trip to Seattle,
mm-hmm.
we will be going...
November.
There you go. To the Cannon Whiskey and Bitters Emporium.
Ooh.
Holy cow.
I like the sound of that.
This is a fantastic bar.
Now, what part of Seattle is that?
This is Capitol Hill, South Capitol Hill kind of a thing.
Hmm.
Up there by the big hospital, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd read about it. It's so funny now. You say, I read about it. I said, where'd you read about it? I have no idea. Because the internet has ruined it. You can't trace it down to a periodical.
No.
But they, Fred and I, have been to Artesian in London, voted best bar in the world.
Yeah.
We've been to the Dead Rabbit,
mm-hmm.
voted best bar in the world.
Yeah.
Cannon has won Best Bar, I think, in America.
Losers.
But it should be one of the best bars in the world. It is so good. Mm. Small little place. The design elements, I got a video. I'll put it on the website. Ugh. Jamie Boudreau is the guy behind it.
Yeah.
Local boy, actually, here from Vancouver.
What's BC. He doing down there?
Making money hand over fist.
Oh, good for him.
But just a wonderful place. I read more about it. All of the wood in the place is stained with Angostura bitters.
I thought it was just stained with bitterness.
No.
Really?
You go into the washroom, and they got old radio plays playing on an old radio in there. Oh. Edison lighting, a wall of booze, and just fantastic. I know you're getting a little verklempt.
I'm going to get cut.
And I'm going to tell you what I had there, just so you get
you bring the menu? You steal a menu?
I borrowed a menu.
They want you to take the menu.
They're going to get it back. So these are the originals. And where your 12-bottle bar was leading me was to the drink that they call Shrouded Roulette.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll get on that in a second. My first drink that I had was called the Elementary, or Elementary.
Ooh.
My dear Jason.
And it comes in, I guess it's actually a port sipper.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like a glass pipe. The idea is you would hold it, and then the straw that is the glass tube you drink out of.
Mm-hmm.
But these brilliant bastards at Cannon have got bourbon, tawny port, cream sherry, rhubarb shrub, and Boker's bitters in this fantastic drink. Such a good drink.
I need Boker's bitters.
And they put, though, they sell their own Boker's bitters there. I didn't buy any. They top it with liquid nitrogen.
Oh.
Right? So it comes to the table and it looks like a lit pipe.
Wow.
And then they know that you want to take a picture. They let you take a picture, and then they stir it. The wonderful waitress we had, wonderful server, I forget her name, she stirred it up because I guess if you drink liquid nitrogen,
your tongue will freeze and break into a million pieces.
It will kind of kill you.
Yeah. Now, maybe a little bit wouldn't hurt you, but they've not taken any risks.
No, a little bit would hurt you.
I don't know.
If it was actually still liquid, no. It would break or kill.
They were concerned enough that they did not want you to do it. And so the presentation, it is smoking.
Yes.
They stir that in. Now, I don't know if that dissipates or if that actually helps chill it.
Oh, it would help chill it.
Yeah.
Yeah. At that temperature?
It was this wonderful, wonderful drink. Mm. Holy cow. And Jennifer had the Shrouded Roulette, which I'm going to touch upon later on. And then after that, I had the Foie Old Fashioned, which is fat-washed, bonded apple brandy. Smith and Cross barrel aged, or Smith and Cross rum, barrel aged vanilla maple syrup, and more Boker's. And I said, "So is that was the fat wash? Is that like what is that like pork or bacon or what?" Are you? And she said, "No, it's foie gras. They wash that brandy in foie gras."
Wow. Oh my god!
And they have a lab downstairs in the place where they're doing the whole centrifuge thing. They're doing it, so it's not. It's that approachable sort of molecular idea that we touched upon where you might not want to have 18 egg-shaped things that taste like. Anyway, and what did Jennifer have? Her other one was the... I can't remember looking at it.
We'll edit this part out later.
But wonderful drinks. The people at the next... Oh, she had the Daisy Royale, which was from 1862. Oh, it's a Jerry Thomas drink.
Mm-hmm.
Dark rum, cognac, yellow chartreuse, pineapple gum, fresh lemon, Angostura bitters, and dry sparkling wine. And it was a good drink. Holy cow.
Yeah.
And, you just couldn't be more comfortable and fantastic in this place.
So pineapple shrub.
Yes. We should be making shrubs.
Oh, man.
The people next to us had a drink, and they came out with a little skull.
Sure.
A little glass skull.
Full
of smoke.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And the drink was in a separate decanter.
Mm-hmm.
The drink was poured in to the skull-filled, or smoke-filled skull.
Yep.
Shaken briefly in that to get the smoke influence in it. And then that was poured out. I forget what that one was called. There's one here called the Fellow of Infinite Jest, which was a Jameson Irish whiskey, Dubonnet Galliano bitters, and a banana zing with cream smoke. That might have, but that doesn't seem like you'd need a, no, maybe it was. Amazing drinks. Amazing, amazing drinks. So Shrouded Roulette which leads me back again, sorry, to the 12-bottle bar, is that Jamie Boudreau has a recipe. I bought his book. I bought the Canon cocktail.
Oh, you were in hook, line, and sinker.
And the theory is if you take an ounce and a half of spirit, I'm going to get the proportions wrong. Doesn't matter. We'll clarify it later. An ounce and a half of spirits, a 3/4 ounce of vermouth of your choice, whether it's Campari, Suze, whatever, Lillet or Lillet, whatever that vermouth thing is going to be, and then 1/4 ounce of a liqueur, cherry herring, apricot brandy, elderflower liqueur, whatever, and a couple of shots of bitters. If you mix that up, you will have a drink. It might not be the greatest drink. It'll be okay, though. But 9 times out of 10, he says, it'll be something like, you know what? That's all right. And so they call it the shrouded roulette, because you tell them, listen, I want to have something, but I don't want rum. I want bourbon. They make you a surprise drink. And their little rule to themselves is not to duplicate a shrouded roulette in any one night.
Wow. That's discipline.
That is discipline. Such a great place.
All right, so November.
Canon Whiskey and Bitters Emporium.
Where could be a better place to go in November than Seattle?
Seattle, of course. Or anywhere in the Pacific Northwest, actually.
Yeah.
I'll give you a couple of names of the drinks here, too. I got the Shredded Roulette. I'll have that one, which I think comes in a little owl. The Noam Chomsky.
Oh, yeah.
And a little Toucan Gin Fizz. Listen to this. I wanted to get this, but I was running out of space in my liver. Toucan Gin Fizz. Gin.
Yeah.
Fruit Loop Milk.
What?
I'll tell you that in a minute. Orange Blossom Water. Fresh Lemon. Egg White. And Mallow Fire. I don't know what that is. Probably marshmallowy thing.
So I've got the easiest, hardest thing in there is the rose water syrup. And I don't even know how to get to the other two.
So you get milk.
Yeah.
And you put Fruit Loops in it.
Okay, well, I'm familiar with that process.
Let it sit for 15 minutes, strain the Fruit Loops out, and now you've got a sugared milk. It's brilliant. It's just brilliant.
Are you sure that's brilliant?
I'm sure it's brilliant. Birds and Bees, Bitter Petals, which I can't tell what it's served in, but it looks like it's a ball. Right? Bright Idea, a light bulb. Campfire in Georgia, mezcal, peach habanero shrub, fresh orange juice, cinnamon. Oh, I saw them making the campfire in Georgia. This is one of those deals where they've got a bunch of shaved oak things that they've lit on fire, and they've stored the smoke.
You love it when they light things on fire.
I do. I love a good fire drink. Smoke in a cloche. The drink somehow went into the whole thing. Oh, I'm telling you.
Peach habanero shrub?
Peach habanero shrub. Have you ever made a shrub?
No.
I made a shrub once.
But I've got to make like 6 shrubs. How long do the shrubs last?
Well, you got to open a bar and be going through this stuff pretty good.
Oh, my God.
And then at the end, the bill comes.
Yeah? And it was free?
It was free. In a little, an old tobacco tin.
Oh. Did that help make it a little less painful?
If you're going to go out drinking.
Oh, sure, no. Yeah. Go big or go home.
Go big or go home. Death in the Caribbean, coconut bra, foie old-fashioned, what's this? Fuck you, Frappuccino, fork you, Frappuccino.
Yeah, it's got a bunch of symbols instead of letters.
The Tiki Toki, Japanese whiskey, Lillet Rose, elderflower, hint of violette, and sparkling wine. The Banksy Sour, the Movie Night Float.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it had Bibb & Tucker bourbon, Thomas Kemper root beer, caramel corn ice cream, bitters, and a red vine straw. So you can drink it through a
red vine straw before.
Fellow Vintage Elementary and the Canon cocktail. And I was almost going to get the Canon cocktail.
Yeah?
And the girl said, why would you get that?
Really?
It's got rye, a bitter in it, a triple sec foam, and bitters. She said, you could almost get something similar to it.
Yeah, you can make that at home.
When are you going to get some foie gras
washed? Bourbon?
Apple brandy.
Apple brandy. He's getting apple brandies, aren't
they? Those are those originals, but their classics are from the Stork Club, The Art of Drinking, American Drink Book, in 1925, 1919, 1882, Harry Johnson. The inside of the bar, or the outside of the bar down below, is printed or wallpapered with Harry Johnson's book. That's how cool this place is. So before you do anything else, book a ticket to Seattle.
Yep.
Book a reservation at Cannon Whiskey and Bitters Emporium.
Mm-hmm.
And, God, you'll thought you died and went to heaven. I asked the server, is there like a cot? Can I live here? And she said, no.
No? No. She's sure about that?
But she'd asked the same thing when she started there.
Oh, okay. So I guess I'm going to have to stay two nights because I don't think I can do it all in one night.
No, it's just a day trip.
No. I'm going to stay overnight.
Oh.
And then stay the next day. What time do they open?
Open at 5.
Well, it's a little late, but okay. I can make it work.
So that's my little field trip story.
Wow. That's much more impressive than just the Cali High.
I went to West, but that's I'm not even going to talk about it now.
Oh. Oh, well, you went to West, though.
Yeah.
You got nothing?
Don't get no time. You know, we're going to wrap this sucker up.
All right.
Yeah, we're running it to over an hour.
Well,
sorry about that, folks. Unless your commute is 90 minutes, in which case, I guess we could just go on for a bit.
So then to wrap up the drinks.
Oh, yes. Which?
Dark and Stormy, Darker and Stormier, / Extra Ginger Dark and Stormy.
Oh. The Darker and Stormier worked for me, I tell you. Although I'm against it, I'm going to have to make myself some ginger syrup.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to. I did like the first one, but I think I'm going to have to go through
it. I've always liked the first one. I've had it countless times because it's a go-to. I don't want to think. I just want something I know I'm going to love.
Mm-hmm. That's a little bit different.
It's a little bit different. It's like I don't want to order a Ryan Coke.
Not a Ryan Coke. It's a rum and ginger beer.
Yeah. Making it from the, pure ingredients. Wow. Yes.
And so I would encourage you, if you're listening, I hope you're listening, because otherwise this has been a complete waste of time.
Not really, because we had several drinks.
Oh, true enough.
It's good for us.
Yeah,
good for us.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah, turn it off.
Screw you.
I don't care. But this was perfect. You can have the standard one, and it's a great drink, or you can go with a little bit, and this wasn't a whole lot more work to squeeze and to actually make that syrup. It was a matter of just being able to beat the hell out of ginger.
Mm.
Maybe you could even go to your Whole Foods. Maybe they have ginger juice.
Oh, they probably do. Yeah.
And I was trying to keep it down to I didn't have a whole lot of ginger because I thought. But if you had like a whole gigantic one of those
big
those
finger,
boxing gloves,
big hand of ginger,
glove.
Oh man,
yeah, that's too much.
Well, I guess, but I mean, you could.
How much did you use?
I used
a finger?
Half a finger? like a half of a hand.
Half a hand, okay.
Half a hand.
That's good to know.
Yeah. I used like a great big thumb's worth.
Yep.
And some other thing.
And you still got some left.
And I still got some left for the ride home. And so, yes, dark and stormy, easy drink, darker and stormier, extra ginger, I think a little bit more, and what you can do by a little bit extra work.
There you go.
That's a lot of. I'm exhausted just hearing you talk about it.
I know. I'm sorry. Roll the tape. Let's start this thing up.
All right. So that was a good practice round. Now we'll start.
I've got notes for both of you to go over. Directions.
So I'm glad that you're able to enjoy a bar trip. Are we at that point? Is this where we're going?
Yeah, this is where we're going. Oh, we're leaving our way down there, and we might have to drop that.
Yeah.
Well,
hasn't really caught on. It's not viral you thought.
Only if we've stopped tipping. were you down at Cannon?
I mean, they brought you some great drinks. I hope you.
Well, sure. I mean, when you were in the Valley High, I mean, they brought you some great drinks. And apparently, he went to West, and they probably
got there's some great drinks. Yeah. And I did not go light.
You didn't go light. What does that mean?
I was a little heavy.
On what?
Well, you know.
Oh.
I wanted to show my gratitude.
Right. How about you? Did you want to show your gratitude?
Oh, I wanted to show. But you know what took the kind of stung a little?
Uh-huh.
Is that because in California they've raised the minimum wage to $15, all the restaurants now say, oh, by the way, there's a 3% surcharge on foods and drinks.
Oh.
And it's not, 3%. It's fine. I didn't.
It's a drop in the bucket.
Good. Back in the bucket. Yeah. So I was generous.
So you can crank it back a little.
I could crank it back, but I don't think I did. I thought, help the service.
So then we all.
All collectively.
Yeah. Collectively.
Once we took our. You would set it up.
No, well, once we had the opportunity to go out there, we all took advantage of the summer break that we had.
Yeah.
We didn't really have one.
No.
Anyway, we went out there and we employed enjoined.
It's harder, isn't it?
It is. God. No, but we enjoyed the service of the service professionals.
Oh, God, yeah, we've already got that.
The bar people. And anyway, yeah. No matter what you do, where you go, if people are bringing you booze, that's remember, right. No matter what, tip big. Sometimes you gotta go right through it.